إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Once again, it's a pleasure to welcome all of you in these classes here at Masjid al-Ihsan, in which we're going to continue, inshallah ta'ala, reading in this chapter, Babun fi Ahkami al-Janais. This section of the book Al-Mulakhas al-Fiqhi of our beloved Shaykh al-Doktor Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى. These sections we're learning the rulings and the regulation pertaining to funerals. And as this is the second class, we mentioned in a previous class that there is many innovations that are practiced. Many innovations are practiced when a person is sick, when people visit the sick. Likewise, when somebody die, many innovations are practiced when washing the deceased person, shrouding, burying, and the like. We want to learn what to do, what is the right thing to do. Alhamdulillah, we Muslims, and we have Islam, we have the Quran, we have the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it's very important for us to learn the deen, so we don't just follow the people and do what the people are doing, but rather we want to do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, the only way is by learning. Once we learn, so now we're going to act upon knowledge. We're going to act upon knowledge. And we're not going to fall into innovations, because all innovations are rejected. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever does an action that is not in accordance to what we are upon, it is rejected. There are people who they do a lot of things. They spend a lot of time. And they may be sincere. As intention, that's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows who's sincere and who's not. But that's not enough. Sincerity in alone is not enough. Person has to be sincere, but also actions has to be in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore we are learning together. Ahmed, put it down a little bit, too high. And that's why we're learning, so that before we do anything, we do it based on knowledge.
That's good.
We do it based on knowledge from the Book of Allah, from the sound Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as understood and as applied by the best of this ummah, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever followed them upon this path. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Khayrun nasi qarni," the best of the people is my generation, I mean his companions. So something that the companions didn't know about, they never did it, how could somebody who came 1,000 years after them to be right? We were commanded to follow the book and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he comes to the deen of Allah. And therefore, if some of us grow up in some countries or some tribes or some areas, and yes, of course, you're going to be affected by the environment you live in, and you may pick up many ways, now check them to the deen of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you some understanding So all of that which you have learned from others, from your tribe, from your family, if doesn't agree with the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and that which the companion were upon, leave it alone. There's no good in it. Don't just say, no, this is my people. Your people is not going to help you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. What's going to help is to do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do that which Allah commands us, and that which His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us. And we do this in everything. In aqidah, in ibadat, in actions of worship, in everything, in dealings with one another. In salat, we shouldn't just pray because people are praying. We shouldn't just imitate whatever people are doing. Now we need to learn how the Prophet ﷺ performed the prayer. In wudu, in ghusl, in fasting, zakat, hajj, umrah, dua, recitation of the Qur'an, and all of this. Because Allah tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah the best example. Allah didn't say in your tribes, in your fathers, in your sheikhs, in your imams in the masjid. No, you follow your fathers if they follow in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If they are right, you follow them. If they are wrong, you don't follow them. Now, inshallah, that's what we're doing. We're learning the right things. What is to do? What is the right thing to do when somebody is sick? And if they die, what to do at that moment? And how? What is the sunnah and what is the proper way to wash the deceased body, to shroud them and the like? قال الشيخ وتسن عيادة المرضى لما في الصحيحين وغيرهما خمس تجب للمسلم على أخيه وذكر منها عيادة المريض. Now we're still in a part and a point when a person is sick. Okay, because certain people they get sick and then they die. Some people they're not sick and they die. The Shaykh is giving us the etiquettes of visiting the sick at this moment. He says it is recommended to visit the sick people. Because of this hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there is five rites that is obligatory upon the Muslims to fulfill towards their Muslims. Meaning, as Muslims, we have five rites upon one another. And one of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, عِيَادَةُ الْمَرِيدِ. When a Muslim is sick, to visit the sick. Those who have the ability to do so, they go and visit. So now there is the etiquette of visiting the sick that we need to learn. Sometimes some of us, they don't have these etiquettes and they cause harm to the sick person. So the etiquette is that when we visit a sick person and that person can't talk, then we ask them, how you doing? How you feeling today? Because this is with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his guidance. He used to draw close to the person and ask him, how are you? How are you doing? Unless if you were told not to get close to the person, or unless if you were told that the condition of that person doesn't allow him to speak. But if a person can speak and you can get close to them, you draw close to them and you talk to them nicely. Remember, they're sick. They may have a headache. So we don't speak loud. And one of the bad habits we should to get rid of, sometimes you find the crowd go. And they sit there and start talking and laughing. They forget about the sick person. They think they're sitting in a coffee shop. And they just sit there and talk about whatever, sports, and they laugh and... Nah. This is not a good etiquette that the Muslim goes, and they should always keep in mind why we're here. What is this room we're in? This is a sick person. And another thing, don't you think that visiting the sick person only in a hospital? No. Certain people are sick, they are in the hospital, they may be at home. They may be at their work, and they're still sick, and you can visit them, inshallah ta'ala. Another edict, the Shaykh says, that when you visit the sick person, try to go the next 2 days. Or the next day. You visit them today, you can go tomorrow or after tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. You don't go there every hour, every people have nothing to do, let's go visit the sick. But that sick person, he needs some time off too, he needs some rest. Okay? Unless if that person may like company, or he may like certain people, because he benefits from them. And he may tell a person, please, Yahi, can you see me whenever you have time? I don't mind if you see me in the morning and afternoon, every day, please do so. Then that person, if he has time, he do that, inshallah ta'ala. وَلَا يَطُولُ الْجُلُوسَ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ الْمَرِيدِ يَرْغَبُ ذَلِكَ. Likewise, from the etiquettes, that you do not spend a lot of time in the company with the sick. Don't sit there and stay. Unless if the sick person wants to enjoy your company and wants you to spend more time. Otherwise, we go there, we make the sunnah, make dua for them, as this is another etiquette. When you go there, you say to the sick person this dua. That is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. You say to the person, لا بأس عليك طهور إن شاء الله. لا بأس عليك طهور إن شاء الله. Meaning, you're okay inshallah. And this is the expiation for your sins, inshallah. This expiation of your sins, inshallah. And it is true. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his chapter, in his book Riyad Salihin, the chapter of patience and sabr. It's an amazing chapter. Especially if you read the explanation of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the book, by the way, is right behind me on this shelf. So, in that chapter of Al-Imam al-Nawawi on patience, he mentioned many sound narrations in which highlight the great reward, subhanallah, when the people, Allah put people through trials and through tests, by testing them, whether in their wealth or in their health or in their loved ones. And if they are patient, Allah expiate their sins and raise them levels they could not achieve through their deeds. So that's why you tell the sick person, لا بأس عليك طهور إن شاء الله. And another etiquette is that once you're there, try to bring joy in the heart and the face of that sick person. Now, give joy to them. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shifa, the cure. You make dua that Allah cure the person. And like also, you can read some Quran on that person using ruqya. Ruqya, you read some ayats, especially Surah Al-Fatiha, as the ulama, they mention, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Naam, the Shaykh says, especially Surah Al-Fatiha, and Surah Al-Ikhlas, and Al-Mu'awwidhatayn. Some people, they make mistakes. They go there and start, just in their faces, they start making faces that the sick person, you know, he knows that these people are like, oh, wow, you're like this, you see him? Why your face is like that, akhi? What happened to your knee? Oh, man. No, all of these things. Say, la ba'sa, ya akhi, mashallah, inshallah, alhamdulillah. Remember Allah, akhi, mashallah, this is dunya. We all get sick, akhi, mashallah. Some other people are even, their illness is worse than you. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, if Allah will, you're going to be, this all be history one day, inshallah, you're going to be okay. Hakada. So these are the etiquettes of visiting the sick person. Likewise, the Shaykh says, وَيُسَنُّ لِلْمَرِيدِ أَنْ يُوصِي بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ مَالِهِ فِي أَعْمَالِ الْخَيْرِ. Now, for the person who's sick, especially if that sickness is serious, then that person is permissible for that person who's sick to assign some of his wealth to be used for venues of good and righteousness. For example, he will say, look, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, but alhamdulillah, but if I die, I want some of my money to go to this, to go to these orphans, okay, build a school. I heard these people, I don't know if they finished that masjid or not. Please give them whatever they need to finish that masjid, to finish that school. I heard in a place such and such, there is this river, and there is some villages, they cannot, you know, go through to whatever they want to go when it's raining. Please take whatever it takes for my money to build a bridge for them. Stuff like this. To dig out a well for the people so they can drink. No. These are the things that are going to help him on Yawm al-Qiyam. Because nobody take his money with him. They're not going to bury his wealth with him. And even if they do so, you think it's going to help him? No. They're going to do him no good. So this is how he's going to do him good, by like, look man, take some of my money and do this. So it'll be wasiyya, testament. وَيَجِبُ أَنْ يُوصِي بِمَا لَهُ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الدُّيُونَ. Likewise, he has to, in that will that he leave behind, he has to write the debts for him or that he's supposed to pay or he's supposed to collect. If a person is very sick, then he do these things. Because if he doesn't do it, and then people come out and say, oh listen, your father, you know, he owes us some money. They're like, my father never tell us. No, look, maybe he left a will. No, he left anything. So if those people don't have a proof, mashallah, they're not going to get their right. And he's responsible. So he writes down, he says, look, he got in his wali, in testament, that so-and-so, I owe so-and-so such-and-such. I owe so-and-so such-and-such. Likewise, if people owe him money, he does it too. Because not everybody is honest. Yes, certain people, when they hear somebody die, they come to his wife or, can you adjust this, please? It's bothering me. Put it a little bit down, inshallah, zakallah. Likewise, if he lent money to certain people, or he was doing business with some people and he didn't get his portion yet, zakallah. So he need to write that down too. Not everybody is honest when they hear that somebody died. They will come to his family who he left behind, like children and wife, and says, I don't know if your father said this or mentioned it, but here is $10,000, that's his money. Alright, that's $10,000, that's his money. You know? So, not everybody is honest. So what happened when he writes that, so when he died, his children, they will go to the person and say, listen, Akhi, my father, you know, you borrowed from him such and such. He's like, oh yeah, mashallah. Because people sometimes too, they may forget. Likewise, if that person who's very sick, it is highly recommended for them too, to write down whatever things they may be entrusted with from other people. Because that person, he may be trustworthy when he was trustworthy. People entrusted him with things. Some people, they may bring some gold and say, look, I'll keep it with you until I need it. Some people, they may bring him money and say, look, this $3,000, keep it with you. I trust you with it when I need it, because if I keep it with me, I'm gonna waste it. Keep it with you. See? So then, inshallah ta'ala, he writes those things too, so that his family, We'll give it back because people love money, man. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَيُحِبُّ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا أي كَثِيرًا. Allah tells us about ourselves that the human being, they love money, man. They love wealth very much. Allah tells us that. So it's very important. The person writes all of these things so that his family will give it back to those who belong to. The Shaykh mentioned a hadith. He says, what we're talking about here, actually this wasiyah, and to write a will, this is for all of us. Those who are not sick, you should always write this. Because you don't know when you're going to die. Not only sick people die, right? Not only sick people die. So this is actually the sunnah. It is recommended from all of us. If you have any debts, or you're entrusted with anything, or somebody owe you some money, you want to write your will and keep it with you. And then you can write another will. Okay? If you pay some of that debt, you write now, listen, it's not 5,000 anymore, it's only 4,000. So now if a person die and they find like 3, 4, 5 testaments, the wills, they always go with the most recent one, the closest to his death. Okay? So even the healthy people, they should do this. If they owe anything or people borrow money from them or anything, they should write it down. The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, مَا حَقُّ مْرَئٍ مُسْلِمٍ. And also, we're talking about the sunnah. The sunnah is that we drink with the right hand. Well, sometimes they see our brothers, I'm not going to say to the person, you're right here or over there. We don't want to put anybody on the spot. But what I want to do, I'm going to alhamdulillah, because we're supposed to remind one another. Because some of us, we don't know the condition of the people. Some of us forget. Some people, maybe they were left-handed all their life, and Allah guide them to Islam. Or they were born Muslims. And then later on they find out that, look, as Muslim we should supposed to drink with the right hand and eat with the right hand. And it's haram to drink or eat with the left hand. It's not a choice. It's not a choice. But some people, they may not know that ruling, while others, they know it and they forget. Whatever the case is, somebody may be a new Muslim and don't know, so we advise. But me, I cannot. If I see something, I cannot just go blind, because it's going to be against me now. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet ﷺ says, if a person, a Muslim, and the general meaning of the hadith, that a Muslim should not sleep 2 nights without having his testament and his will written. Not 2 nights should go by and that Muslim not having written his will. The Shaykh says 2 nights is not precisely, but that put an emphasis on writing down, whether it is little or a lot. Why? Because that person don't know when death may come upon them. Another etiquette and advice for the person who is sick: the sick person should always think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially at that moment, those who are very sick, they should think good about Allah, that Allah is Ar-Rahman, is Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, regardless what they've done. At that moment, they have more hope. They have more hope in Allah, that Allah will forgive them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their deeds and the like, and forgive their sins and the like. Shaykh mentioned the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Allah says, I am as my servants think of me. So think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see good, insha'Allah ta'ala. Likewise, from the etiquettes, if a person go and visit a sick person, especially if that sick person are very sick, very ill, then you should talk to them about the rahmah of Allah, about the mercy of Allah, how vast it is, that Allah is ar-Rahman, is ar-Rahim. And you talk to him, alhamdulillah. Because certain people at that moment, they're like, oh, subhanAllah, I didn't do enough. And that's true, we don't do enough. You know, nobody can at that moment say, I'm in Jannah already. They mentioned that Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, his Imam Sunnah, when he was dying, and he was a group of people from the ulama and others visit him, and his son used to tell him, Abi, say La ilaha illallah. And but Imam Ahmed was saying, not yet. So, not yet. This is Imam of the Sunnah. And it happened a couple of times in that sitting. And then whenever Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, he get consciousness, the same thing. Then his son told him, Father, I was telling you to say La ilaha illallah, and he's saying to me, not yet. How is that? He says, I wasn't talking to you, son. So who are you talking to? He says, Shaitan. Shaitan, don't leave people. Shaitan came to Imam Ahmed at that moment and said to him, look what he said to him. Look at the tricks of Shaitan. Said to him, Imam Ahmed, that's it. You're in the Jannah, man. I can do nothing for you, man. I can't corrupt you. You're a great imam. That's it. You made it. Imam Ahmed didn't tell him, yeah, I told you. No. Imam Ahmed said, not yet, man. I'm still alive. Not yet, man. No, man. I'm not yet. I ain't make it yet. See? And he's the imam. So that's why at that moment, the Shaykh, he says, those people who are around the sick person, they talk to him about the mercy of Allah. MashaAllah, ya akhi, alhamdulillah, you're a Muslim, MashaAllah. Na'am, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Especially if that person was a good person, from what the people see from him, jazakallah, ya akhi, he used to be a good person, alhamdulillah, he used to come to the masjid, the salat, you were nice to the people, you have good manners, akhlaq, have. Allah is merciful, alhamdulillah, and the like. So at that moment, when you're sick, you're supposed to think this way. The rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Shaykh says, when a person is healthy, he has to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on hope and fear. When a person is very sick, hope, a lot of hope. Okay, don't sit there and spend all day, oh, I'm done, yeah, I didn't do this. And that. The Shaykh said at the time, a lot of hope. He hoped for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when a person is healthy, not sick, he has to have a balance. He has to have balance between hope and fear. Between hope and fear. Because if someone give precedence to fear over hope, he will. That person will despair from the mercy of Allah. He will say, "That's it. I'm done." And likewise, if a person give precedence to hope over fear, then he will. He don't care. Even if he's not praying, he's like, alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful. See? He's doing haram. Yeah, I'm doing haram, but Allah is merciful. Allah is going to forgive me, inshallah. See? And he don't try to correct his mistakes, don't try to do that which is right. Rather, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that hope and fear is like the two wings of a bird. You see, the bird have two wings. And that's what keep that bird balanced. If the bird miss one wing, what's going to happen? He's in trouble. No balance. Going to fall into danger. That's what keep that bird away from danger, because way up there, the hunters, they waiting. We wait until see if he comes down. Dogs, fox, whatever that may hunt that bird, as long as the bird way up there, they have no chance. Likewise, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on hope and fear. You do things and you hope that Allah will forgive you, hope Allah accept from you. But also, you fear Allah because you know that Allah is severe in punishments and the like, so that you can stay away from that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, all of these things was about the sick person. When a person is sick, advices for the person who's sick himself, advice to the people who's around the sick person. Okay? Now, إِذَا احْتَضَرَ الْمَرِيدِ. Now, if the sick person get into a further stage, in they call it the agony of death. Really, at the moment you see them, they're struggling. They really struggling. He says, it is the sunnah for those people who are around him to tell them to say La ilaha illallah. Okay, at that moment. You don't talk to them about, well, who's going to get the car? Wait a minute, is how much money? For real, man, that's all you had. His wife. You don't have another wife that didn't tell me, right? Now you die and then she going to come, I'm his wife, and she want to share in the what you left. Are you sure? Now don't be concerned with that stuff. Be concerned for him. Make sure that he say La ilaha illallah. So you don't talk about the dunya at that moment and this. No, tell him if the person is struggling, fighting, then you tell them to say La ilaha illallah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. رواه مسلم. If people, you're around people who are dying, not dead yet, because if somebody is dead, that's it. You can't tell them, say La ilaha illallah. Doesn't make no sense. You want to tell a person. No. If person is dying, they still alive, you tell them to say La ilaha illallah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ commands us. Why? So that they can die upon ikhlas, upon the statement of ikhlas. So that La ilaha illallah be the last statement that person may say before they die. In the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whoever's last statement in this dunya were لا إله إلا الله and die, that person enters the Jannah. Okay, so now this is very important. Let us remember this thing. Certain people at that moment, they lose it. The wife starts screaming, are you not leaving us, are you? Everybody's going to leave. Children are crying, everybody's crying. Getting the phone calls. Now you're going to tell that person who's dying, say La ilaha illallah. But how you say it? Birifq. You say it nicely. Okay? Because you want them to say La ilaha illallah, but tawfiq is only from Allah. Some people may say it, some people may never say it. So you gotta do it with gentleness. Remember that person at that time, very sick, they dying. You be gentle and say to them, say La ilaha illallah. And you don't be in their faces, and no, you're gonna say La ilaha illallah with a beautiful smile on your face and the like. Also, from the things that is from the sunnah is recommended, if a person is dying, not dead yet, it is sunnah recommended to face them, to direct them towards the Qibla. They're still alive, they didn't die yet. وَيُقْرَأُ عِنْدَهُ سُورَةِ يَسِينَ. And also, it is from the sunnah, the person not dead yet. So you see the people, they do the opposite. When they're supposed to read the Surah Yasin, they don't. They wait until he's dead, and then instead to go and wash him and bury him, oh no, let's Surah Yasin. No. You see what I'm talking about? They should recite Surah Yasin when that person is very sick. Because the Prophet said, قرأوا ياسين على موتاكم. Meaning, موتاكم من حضرت الوفاة. See, some people, they don't understand Arabic. He this موتاكم, yes, somebody who don't know, understand Arabic, it means those who died. No, that's not what he means in here. Means those who are dying. They're still alive. The Prophet says, recite Surah Yasin. Why? Because Surah Yasin has a lot of good ayats pertaining to the hereafter, how to prepare yourself, rahmah of Allah, and the like. قال المراد بقوله موتاكم من حضرة الوفاة. Said, what is intended by موتاكم, meaning the Prophet ﷺ is saying, those people are very sick, and you see they're struggling, they're going through the agony of death, and they dying, they're not dead yet. قال أما من مات فإنه لا يقرأ عليه. Says, as when a person die, I said, you don't recite no Quran on a dead person. فإن القراءة على الميت بعد موته بدعة بخلاف القراءة على الذي يحتضر فإنه سنة. Now listen now. The Sheikh says, reciting on a dead person is a بدعة, is innovation. And that's what people do. When the person is dying, they're talking about money, dunya. How much? Oh, that's all you left? Are you sure, brother? Why I didn't hear him? I didn't hear him. What did you say? Man is dying. Ain't nobody telling him, say, La ilaha illallah. Then the wife sitting over there, I'm the only one, right? You have no other children gonna come and just show up when we were about to divide this money? See that? And then when he died, now hire some ignorant imam to recite some Quran. They live off the sunnah and practice and pay for the bid'ah. Sunnah is free. And they want to pay for innovation. La ilaha illallah. The Shaykh, he says, reciting the Quran on the dead after his death is a bid'ah, innovation. Whereas reciting the Quran when a person is dying is sunnah. قال فالقراءة عند الجنازة أو على القبر أو لروح الميت كل هذا من البدع التي ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان. The Sheikh says, reciting Quran in the janazah when they carry in the person, or at the grave they bury him and then they recite. Or روح الميت. Some people after they bury the person, they all said, all right, one of them think like he's smart. He's the one who knows everything, okay? All right, everybody, please, your attention. Fatiha, Fatiha for the deceased. And all of them, they put their heads down. That's bid'ah, innovation. That's innovation. Why is innovation? The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. Prophet ﷺ buried many people in his life. And he was buried. Companions were buried. No, they didn't do these things. كل هذا من البدع. All of this from the innovation that Allah did not give no permission for. قال الشيخ الفوزان والواجب على المسلم العمل بالسنة وترك البدعة. And what is obligatory and incumbent upon the Muslim to act upon the Sunnah and to leave off innovations. So reciting now, Subhanallah, you see this in many funerals. You get to the funeral and you find like a group of like 10, 15 so-called imams. They memorize the whole Quran and they're like, ah, Yasin, what Quran? They recite in Yasin, recite in many other surahs. And you're like, what are they doing? Oh, they reciting on who? On this deceased person. That's a bit of innovation. It's not from the sunnah. And if you try to tell them that, they say, Quran is a bid'ah now, huh? They say, reciting Quran is no good. Who are you? We're not saying reciting Quran is no good. Who said? That's the best thing you can recite. But doing it at that moment, for that reason, that's what is not right. It's not Quran. Some people, they're going to come to you, you know, they want to create what they call it? You know how sometimes you want to turn the people away from what it is and you create something, so... Diversion. And to get the people away from what they were upon? Create a diversion. To divert the people away from what they're supposed to be upon. Because those people, some of them, they know what they're doing is a bid'ah. But they get it for money. They're going to get paid. So now when somebody comes and say, Akhwan, this is not from the sunnah. Okay? Now you find one of those people who are reciting, he's like, Ya Muslimin. He's saying that reciting the Quran is no good. Then everybody, they all six people grab you and throw you outside. See? That's how it happened. That's why you have to use hikmah too. You got to tell them, Ya Akhwan, what you're doing right now, I'm not talking about Quran. Quran is the book of the word of Allah. Alhamdulillah, the speech of Allah. This is the best thing you can recite and spend your time. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you reciting at this moment. It is not from the sunnah. Unless you have a proof that I don't have, I kiss your head right now. See? No, see? Now they can't say anything. And we're learning so for reasons, right? We're learning here so that we don't fall into these mistakes that other people are falling into. That's one. And number two, we learn so that we can try to help others who don't know. Not everybody knows what we know. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you're learning. This is tawfiq is from Allah. Because me and you has not been for Allah's assistance for us. Me and you could be doing something else at this moment. As there are Muslims, who knows what they're doing at this moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm upon the sunnah. So we're not learning so we can go and pass by people who are practicing some of this innovation and we laugh at them. No. This is not the purpose. The Muslim doesn't make fun of his Muslim brothers. Now we learn it so that we can be of a benefit. As the Prophet he says, be keys for good and don't be keys for evil. Be keys that open doors for good, not doors for evil. So you don't gonna go, you learn something and you laugh and make mockery of someone who don't know. No, she's not good. It's not what we're learning. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, seeking knowledge, nothing better than it. Fleeing from the optional acts of worship. Nothing better than it. He says, but for the one who has a pure intention. And he was asked, well, how a person have a pure intention while seeking knowledge? He says, he intend by that knowledge to remove himself from ignorance and remove others. He's not learning to steal the show. No, he's not learning so he can be famous. He's not learning to make fun of those who don't know. No, this is not the purpose. We learn so that we don't be ignorant. And we learn to help those who don't know too. Can you imagine a doctor, he went and learned, spent 15 years learning, and then instead to work in a hospital or open a clinic, he just run in the street. Whenever he sees somebody sick, laugh at them. I know why you're sick, man. Yeah, man, I know. You think this is a doctor? No, he's not a doctor. A doctor, he learned, he goes make himself available. And when the people come, even then they say, look, I know what I did, man, I'm stupid. No, I said, no, you're not stupid. Nobody's stupid. But you're a human being. You forget. Okay? Don't worry about it. I'm going to try to help you to the best of my ability. Try this the medicine. If it works, alhamdulillah. If it doesn't work, come to me. We'll see what we can do again. We do more researches. You know? Likewise, we. Because those people who practice bid'ah, they sick too. They sick. And that's worse than those who have cancer. Because if somebody upon the sunnah, upon tawheed, and they die from cancer, so what? They enter Jannah, inshallah. But if somebody is healthy and sound and strong, but they are upon shirk, where are they going to go? Yes, that's musibah. So when you look at someone who practices bid'ah and innovation, they sick. That's a sickness. First thing Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he says, thank Allah that you are not from, that you are not afflicted by that. And make the dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mim tulita bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. Oh, all praise to Allah who has favored me. All praise to Allah who has protected me and saved me from that which He afflicted these people with, and has favored me over and above many of His creation.
Nah.
You thank Allah, because you could be mubtadi yourself. You could be doing those things. You see somebody smoking, don't laugh at them. You laugh at them today, Allah may affect you tomorrow or one of your children. You see a woman not dressed properly and she's a Muslim, don't make fun of her. Talk to her, you sisters. The brothers, you have no business talking to your sister. Alright? If a sister see her in a masjid, in the street, don't make fun of her. She talk to her nicely. Because if you make fun of her, Allah might test you in yourself or in your children. And then somebody else will make fun of your own children. But if you act in the right way, alhamdulillah, you never know if that person listen to you and do what is right, Allahu Akbar. That's good for them and good for you. So it is very important for us to adorn ourselves with the sunnah. We act upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and we leave off innovations. Isha time? No, 8 o'clock. Only because on Friday is 8 o'clock?
No. Changes.
Abdul Majid, let's go, brother. I got a ride. Alhamdulillah. Imam, is it 8 o'clock today? Alhamdulillah. Okay. Thaniyan ahkamul wafat. Okay. Now, we're going to move on to another point. Rulings and regulations when somebody died. So we learned so far the etiquettes and what to do, the proper things to do, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, when a person is sick. Now we're going to learn in this second part, in this section of funerals, ahkamul wafat. What is the right thing to do when a person dies? يستحب إذا مات الميت تغمض عينيه. If a person around the person who died, what is recommended? What is the sunnah at the time? To close their eyes. Okay, at that moment, to close their eyes. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أغمض أبا سلمة رضي الله عنه لما مات وقال إن الروح إذا قبض تبعه البصر فلا تقول إلا خيرا فإن الملائكة يؤمنون على ما تقولون رواه مسلم. Because of the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim on the authority of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, that when Aba Salama, her husband radiallahu anhu, died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present and he closed his eyes. Okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that because when the soul is collected by the angel of death, the vision or the sight follows it. Okay? So, and the eye stays open. So you close them. And then the Prophet said, at that moment, say nothing but good about that person. For indeed, the angels, they say in Ameen to whatever you say. The angels, they say in Ameen. Okay? So say good or don't say anything. Likewise, it is from the sunnah to cover the deceased person with a piece of clothing. لما روت عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين توفي سجي ببردة حبرة متفق عليه. Because of this hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, رحمهم الله, that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, and this is narrated by Aisha رضي الله عنها, أم المؤمنين, the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, they covered him with a burd habira, with this piece of clothing. Also, from the right things to do, that the people, they should prepare the person, meaning the washing, the shrouding. They have to do it immediately. They have to do it immediately. Once they know he's dead, they don't start doing this before he died, just in case. No. The man is still alive, and like, just wash him, wash him. Why? He's gonna die. Just wash him. Just do what I tell you to do, man. We're gonna gain some time. This is not the things to do, man. When a person, إِذَا تَحَقَّقَ مَوْتُهُ, when a person you sure is dead, then you got to hasten. Immediately begin to do what is the sunnah tells us to do. Because of this hadith that is collected by Imam Abu Dawood, the Prophet ﷺ says, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِجِيفَةِ مُسْلِمْ أَن تُحْبَسَ بَيْنَ دَهْرَانَيْ أَهْلِهِ, that no deceased person should be imprisoned or kept as an hostage, if you want to use this term, in between his families. Meaning, should not stay, like certain people, they do it. They keep the deceased person for days. And especially this is from the adat of the kuffar. The non-Muslims, they wait for the janazah for how long? 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever the case. No. The Muslims, alhamdulillah, we do it immediately. Why? Because this will protect that deceased person from changing the color, changing the smell and the like. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala says, karamatul mayyit ta'jiluhu, that the people, they should hasten and immediately take care of the deceased person by washing him, shrouding him, and burying him or her. The Sheikh Salah al-Fawzani says, however, it's okay, it's permissible to wait until some of his family members arrive. Okay? But with the two conditions, they close by, and that would not have impact on the deceased person. Meaning, he won't change the smell and the like. Okay? Not like wait for someone is coming in 1 week. If a person is close by, somebody die in the morning, his family come in a couple hours drive, mashallah, they wait for them until they come. But if somebody is not going to come until, like, I don't know, days later, you bury that person. Likewise, the Shaykh says, it is permissible to mention the death of that person so that the people will come and participate in doing what is necessary to do to take care of the deceased person. A woman, she has small children, for example, and her husband died. Yes, she can make a phone call to the imam, to her family, to somebody she knows, that my husband died, please come and assist and help. It's okay, it's permissible. So that the people will come and will do what it takes to honor that Muslim, and also to pray over them and to make dua for them. But as for, now the Sheikh tells us what is right, now he tells us, he warns us against what is wrong. What is wrong is some of the Muslims, what they do, they make announcements or a newspaper and all of this, that on a day such and such, we're having these gatherings and this. And then when they all gather over there, they start mentioning how good this person he is, and this and that. And then people, they gather in a round, and they start reciting Quran and Fatiha. All that stuff is bid'ah and innovations. Okay? It's from the innovations. And we've seen this in the masajid that is now built upon the sunnah. The masajid, Hizbiya, Ahlul Bidah, Sufiya, Dalal, Ikhwan al-Muslimin. What they do when somebody died, they have that person who his mother died, even if she died, not in here. Died in Africa, in Pakistan, India, in Morocco, Saudi, Yemen, whatever it died. In Gambia, in Sierra Leone, especially, I don't know where, in many places. Okay. Okay. Nah, not especially in Sierra Leone. Alright. In every places who don't practice the Sunnah, regardless, we just give some, mention some names. But regardless what people they do, you find that person come to the Imam of the Masjid and said to him, listen, my mother died or father or whatever. And then that Imam, if he knows the Sunnah, he's like, Alhamdulillah, may Allah grant her tawfiq, may Allah forgive her. Then the person will say, now, Ya Shaykh, we want to do tomorrow, next Saturday, I want you to allow us after Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha, we're going to bring some chairs in here and some tea and coffee and cookies. And we're gonna like, you know, the people are going to come, and me and my brothers, we're going to sit here. People are going to come and give us hugs and tell us, may Allah have mercy on your mother. This is bidah, these innovations. If that Imam upon the Sunnah, he will say, Ya Akhi, this is not from the Sunnah. And this is not going to help your mother. Rather, this is bad for you. Because this is violation to the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ never did this. Sahaba never did this. And if you're doing this because you think there is some good in it in your mother, please, man, just erase that from your mind. There's no good in this. Rather, you want something, go akhi, do dua in sujood for your mother. Ask Allah to forgive her. Okay? Go see if she has any debts upon her. Pay them for her. Okay? She left any children, your siblings or something that they need to take care of. Go to, that's how you take care of your mother. That's what's going to help you and help her. But unfortunately, you find some of the a'imma of the masajid, because of their ignorance and their bid'ah and stuff, they call the people. They inside, they actually, some people, they have doubt. They come to that imam and say, listen, my mother died back home, and some people tell me that I have to have a gathering in here. The imam said, yes, you should know this. Inviting him, scolding him for not knowing the bid'ah. Yeah, where have you been? We've been teaching all this class all these years. You got to be here and you got to bring the people and give your mother her right. Allah salamu alayhi. Now, another thing we should know, that once a person died and is buried, alhamdulillah, then it is highly recommended to execute the wasiyah, any will he has left. You got to do it immediately. Because in that will they say, look, if I die, give this money to this orphan people, this widow lady, to this masjid to finish that person that they were trying to finish for years or whatever the case is. And some of the ruling pertaining to the wasiyah, that the wasiyah should not be more than one third. If a person says, look, he has a wife, he has children, and that person says when he died, they find in his will, give all my money. He left $1 million. Give all my money to this charity. No, not in Islam. Islam, they're going to take the third of that and give it to the charity, and the two-thirds for his family. Because Allah has guaranteed for everyone their rights. So if a person left a will, and it's a valid will, wasiyah, then it's supposed to be given out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran, before death, before the deen, D-E-B-T, min ba'di wasiyatin yusa biha aw deen. Yes, likewise in the second thing, he has to give the date, the debts. If he has any debts, outstanding debts that he didn't pay or that she didn't pay, they have to be given right away. be given out, be paid right away. Whether it is zakat, for example, this person has to pay the zakat, but they were going to put the zakat and then they died. Those people who stay behind him, the family members, they have to pay the zakat. Hajj also. This person has the ability to make Hajj, has the money, but he died before he made Hajj. Now they take from the money enough, somebody make Hajj on his behalf. Nadr ta'a, or kafara. This person, for example, before they died, or when they were healthy, they says, look, if Allah assists me with this, I will give $3,000 in charity. But that person died before he gave that 3,000. Now he have to give it. They take it from his wealth and give it out. Kafara also. You know how sometimes people, they do certain things, they violate certain things, but then they have to expiate by feeding 10 people or freeing a slave and the like. Then if that person too has in a wealth that he didn't do it, they take from his wealth to pay for that. Or if that person have debts to pay, he has borrowed money or something like that, or he was entrusted with certain things, now the family members who they stay behind, they have to give it back. So it's very important. That's why if we have anything or if we have debts, we have to pay them as soon as possible, Ikhwan. We don't delay. It's no good in delaying. But we have to write them down. And if the family members, they find these debts or whatever that person was entrusted with, they should pay it. Before they divide anything, they should. First thing is the wasiyah, whatever that person left. And then the deen, the debts and the like, insha'Allah ta'ala. The next class we're going to continue by the third major point, taghsilul mayyit, the washing of the deceased person. We'll leave it for the next time because it's longer, insha'Allah. We don't start it now. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.